in Mark 1 today, but I'm going to begin with a little bit. I use analogies a lot in my work. I like to describe things symbolically and whatnot. And so, interestingly enough, one of the things that I've thought about, and I'll tell you right now, I'm unashamedly a child of the 60s, and one of the shows I remember when I was a kid was this show called To Tell the Truth. And for those of you probably younger, but you may not know much about this game show because it didn't involve, you know, splashing in the water and, you know, eating frogs or things like that that some of these other shows that we see now do. But in this show, To Tell the Truth, there were a group of four panelists who'd be the people trying to ask questions, and they would bring a person on who didn't have any particular celebrity, but they had something that they did which was remarkable, and they would bring two other people on as imposters. And so the whole gist of the show was for the imposters really to act knowledgeable enough to fool the panelists into guessing that they were, you know, this person who had accomplished this feat or had done whatever. And so the way my brain tends to work at times is that, you know, that's interesting when we think about where we are today, because I spent some time on the internet and I looked up what are the doctrines of Christianity? Why are there so many different versions of Christianity? So many denominations. And so this show, this whole presentation came to mind. And I thought, well, what if this show was talking about that, and yet instead of two other imposters, there were maybe 2,000 other imposters? And so if we have a title of this, is that, will the real gospel please stand up? That's how they would end the show. They'd go through this time of asking questions, and they'd get to the point where they'd find out who the real person who had done whatever the feat was and ask them to stand up. So this morning is, will the real gospel please stand up? And I know many of you have had discussions on and off. Many of you have been around for years and talked to people about our faith. And you have to remember, I was not raised in this faith. So this is a very interesting situation for me, having been raised outside this faith with a very different gospel, so to speak. So I thought what we would do is investigate some things regarding the gospel and the things that are necessary to understand of it, and some of the consequences thereof of not obeying the gospel and then obeying the gospel. So Mark 1:1 starts innocently enough as the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before me. And it goes on here to begin talking about John the Baptist. Now, if we scroll down here to verses 14 and 15 in the same chapter, we'll see. Okay. Now after that, John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Now, we're going to see this written over and over again with regard to the gospel, and we're going to investigate what exactly this is and what happened over the course of, you know, here we are 2,000 years later, of why we have so many different versions of the gospel. And it's important to realize that Jesus was saying, believe the gospel, not believe something that I know of right now, but there'll be more added later. Or, this is the gospel that I'm comfortable with talking to you about. It was believing the gospel. Let's go on then to, let's see.
We'll go to Luke 1.
Verses 31. Good. And part of this gospel involves this message, as we're kind of go back and forth here a little bit. And we're going to read to verse 33. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb. And he's talking to the angel, talking to Mary. And bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. So, establishing this priority here was that he was going to reign over the house of Jacob, not just dwell in heaven, but actually reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Okay? Let's go back to Matthew 11. And we'll read the first six verses here. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. So Jesus took some time to explain to John's disciples of the things that were happening here, to create a clearer understanding of what this gospel included. And that sixth verse is very important for us. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Because there are so many times where we have discussions. My wife and I were baptized 20 years ago this year. And we had these discussions and said, you know, it's interesting when we had these conversations with so-and-so, it would have been really nice to have thought about this verse or saying this or retorting in this way at that particular moment when you're having a conversation. Not that you would necessarily convert somebody at that moment, but you'd probably make them think a little bit more about what it was that they believed. And it's getting back to that analogy of that show, is that whose gospel are you really listening to? The gospel that makes you feel comfortable, that allows you to do these things, or is it something else entirely? Okay. Let's go to Luke 4. And we'll read verses 14 to 21 in Luke 4. So we're taking some time now to establish Jesus preaching the gospel here. And we'll move on at times here to talk about what the disciples did and some of the other things that were so important. And Jesus returned in power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. And he taught in the synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened to him. And he began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. That must have been a very powerful statement to be able to get up in front of a group of people, especially people that, like he said, it was his hometown, and to tell them that he was the fulfillment of this prophecy that Isaiah had written. As we go on, you can see, and I'll bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth, and they said, Is not this Joseph's son? And it goes on and talks about that, how he does not have the honor in his own country. But preaching the gospel to the poor, doing the things that he was commanded to do, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. Let's go to Mark 16. At the end of the chapter there is a very famous thing that Jesus had talked about. And we'll go to verse 15. We'll read from verse 15 there. So all of us are familiar with many of the things that Jesus had accomplished in his preaching and his ministry there, many of the miracles that he did, and we won't spend a lot of time really looking at the miracles and such. So at the end of Mark, he's talking to his disciples. In verse 15 he says, And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat in the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. And again, we go back and look at verse 15. Go ye into the world and preach the gospel. He didn't give them any room to say, you know, feel free to adjust the gospel as you need to, depending on who you're seeing, talking to, because you don't want to offend anybody. Go and preach the gospel. And this is how they know that you're preaching the truth, that you will be able to do these things and not be harmed. Now, today we have groups, unfortunately, that have taken this to the wrong stance there and trying to prove themselves and working with snakes and things like that, which usually creates some very sad consequences. So Jesus passed this obligation on to the apostles to preach the gospel. Good. So let's go now to Acts 16. And we'll start at verses 9 and 10. And so now things are shifting into the works of the apostles themselves. And so verse 9, And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. And again, it's preaching the gospel. Not a version of it, not something the Macedonians want to hear. But preaching the gospel that Paul had known, that Jesus had taught them. Good. Let's go to Romans 1. Speaking of Paul. And let's go to verses 15 through 17. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So by not being ashamed of this gospel, obviously Paul was very convinced in his mind that it was this gospel that he needed to preach. Not any other gospel. Not trying to fool anybody into or make anybody feel that there was other gospels here. We're going to read some other verses that he had written. Let's go to Romans 10. And we'll read verses 11 to 18 in Romans 10. Good. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they've not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went to all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. So the world knows and has heard this gospel. There is no excuse for anywhere. We've had those comments at times of what about people in these areas of the world that are, they've never heard this. I said, this gospel has been everywhere. And like these verses say, there are lots of times where this is rejected out of hand. Because we know that there are lots of world religions. There are areas of the world that are dominated by non-Christian religions. But they chose that religion over the gospel. Not that the gospel was never there. They chose that gospel instead. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Good. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3, and we'll read verses 15 to 17. This is, again, Paul's writing to Timothy. And we're breaking into a thought here. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly finished, furnished unto all good works. These are very important writings here because all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And I've had discussions with people, it's been interesting, where their argument would be that many of the scriptures now are invalid because of their thinking that some kind of situation had happened perhaps to the nation of Israel. So many of the prophecies now that are relating to Israel are no longer valid, which You know, again, when you're thinking logically, and I happen to think a lot logically at times, because that's kind of the nature of what I have to do, it makes it kind of tough to think, well, who's now the authority for some of this information out there that, you know, when you're reading something out of Micah or Nahum or something like that, who's to say, now, wait a minute, what if this is okay and what's not okay? What has happened, what's invalid now? So it's good to keep these scriptures in mind for those people who say, well, you know, no, that doesn't happen anymore. All scripture is given by inspiration for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. And it's using the scriptures to correct, not to challenge somebody, not to joust with them, simply to say, this is what this says. This is how we see this. Oh, let's go to Acts 17. We have a good example here, and we'll read about the Bereans here in Acts 17, verses 10 through 12. It's a good example here of the preaching of the gospel to people who didn't just take it for granted, didn't try to manipulate it and make it something that they wanted to hear. In verse 10 it says, "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night into Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women which were Greeks, and of men, not a few." So, looking at this passage here, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. So, by comparison, those in Thessalonica were not studying. They weren't tending to look at this. How many times do we have a discussion with somebody or hear just simply in the media or whatever, versions of Christianity that you just stop for a minute and go, I wonder where they came up with that. And the people who are interviewing them, they don't know the difference because they didn't study either. So we have half blind and blind at times looking at things, reacting from worldly perspective, saying, sounds nice. As we were saying one time where I was watching, and it was on not that long ago, about famous interviewer asking all these world religious leaders, what's heaven and how do you get there? And you can imagine the variety of answers that she was getting depending on who she was talking to. And hardly any of them had it right, at least according to the scriptures. They just didn't have a clue. But it was always meant to be in a reassuring manner that no matter what it was you were doing, it was going to be okay. See, that's that game playing again. It's okay. Okay. So why do people choose another gospel? Let's go back to Proverbs 14. 14:12. What a classic verse that we have here. And it says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Sounded good at the time, and we have all kinds of modern versions of this kind of thing. Looked good to me. Thought it was working. I was like, you know, and then you find out later, well, did you realize that when you did this, this was to happen? You know, did you think it through to da-da-da? Well, obviously no. But this is one insight into human nature. Sounded good to us. Man, it seemed right. That just seems right. You know, gotta go to heaven. Gotta have this. But the end thereof are the ways of death. Thinking of that show, by the way, it was always interesting when the panel was completely stumped by an imposter. So it was an interesting thing when they finished and they would be completely blown away that there was somebody who did that good a job in deceiving them from the other person, who the real person who was there. And this is what's happening now for us. Let's go to, there's another one in Proverbs here, Proverbs 16. And we'll read verses 9 and 18 in Proverbs 16. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. And pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Unfortunately, we see this a lot of times also. The more a person has initials and, you know, expertise in areas of Christian history and Christian doctrines and such, the more challenging it is to convince somebody otherwise. Or even if they're not a leader, it's just challenging. A person's pride can get in the way, definitely. Let's see what's our time here. Let's go to Matthew 24. And we're going to look at verses 4 through 14 and 21 through 25. Because I'd written down numbers of scriptures here regarding false teachers. But let's hear it from Jesus. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines, and pestilences, and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." So this gospel, Jesus was telling them, you are going to have many false prophets. You're going to have people deceiving. And how does that work? How does that work? Well, let's go to 2 Timothy 4. Jesus was telling them, he was preparing them for these things that were going to happen, because some of those things were going to be happening to the apostles. And verses 3 and 4, right here, "For the time will come," this is Paul writing to Timothy, "the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables." It's interesting watching the other night, just every now and then when there's something about religion that kicks up on the show, I just always get the radar antennas up there and listen. And the Pentecostal movement is like the fastest growing segment of Christianity here. And it was interesting hearing the comment of a person who was in there, and they were babbling in some form of tongue. They were speaking in tongues, I suppose. And yet it was a very interesting comment, because they came out and said, "Well, you know, I don't really know what I say. But in essence, it just makes me feel good." You know, it brings from that person's mind, it brought them closer to God. You know, again, the logic circuits are going on and going, if you don't know what you're saying, do you know if you're saying anything? How do you know you're not saying something really bad? But it didn't matter, because it made them feel better. But it brought me to mind of these verses here, teaching, you know, let's give them something there. I mean, there's many doctrines of Christianity now reflect on prosperity. Hey, you can have the job. You can have this. This is what God wants to give you. You're going to get that relationship. You're going to get that new car. You're going to move into that new home. It usually comes with a request for donation or something along those lines. So we can see that this is how these things happen here. We get deceived. Well, now it's time. We have a few minutes left here. We need to focus on what will happen to those who believe a different gospel. Let's go to Galatians 1. This is a great text here. We're going to read verses 6 to 9. This is what was important from Paul talking to the Galatians about the gospel. And he summed it up beautifully here. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Those were pretty powerful words coming from Paul almost 2,000 years ago. And I've heard all kinds of interesting things in discussions with people. Like, well, we have further revelation now. Well, it didn't seem so according to Paul. That if anything was going to be different than what he taught them, it's a pretty serious thing when he's saying, let him be accursed. So this is a very important text for us to remember here. Always remember Galatians 1. Let's go to 1 Peter 4. Just drive this point home a little bit more. And verses 17 to 18. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? That was very, very important writing there. It starts right here with us. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? These were very powerful words here. So we went... Didn't we read in Romans 10 that if you call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved? And so lots and lots of people see that. And again, that deception there. Let's go to Matthew 7 for a moment here. And we'll read verses 21, 23. I have another analogy here in a minute. It says, not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. How many of you ever seen the televangelists on television there, the healing things that are going on, supposedly healing? And it just reminds me of these verses over and over again. Like, we did these things. We went to church. We taught these things. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Let's also read verses. Okay, we've got 26 and 27. Here we go. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Let's take a minute here and we'll read. Let's back up. We'll stay in Matthew 7 here. Back up to verses 13 and 14 here. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight, and straight doesn't mean like not crooked. Straight means very, very narrow. Very, very narrow. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So many versions of Christianity, so many versions of the gospel don't seem to connect here. Let's read verses 24 and 25 right here in this chapter. Good. Great chapter, by the way. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. So, huge difference in what we believe and what we hang on to. Let's finish up here in Revelation 3. And we'll look at verses 19 to 21. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.